You are listening to an entertainment program put together by a company called Financial Ineptitude. Anything said on this show is not an endorsement or professional advice. Would you really want to tell a court of law you were suing us because you thought taking financial advice from two idiots on a podcast put out by Financial Ineptitude was a good idea? Really? Clown hat, smiley face.
Financial Ineptitude presents Two Bulls in a China Shop. You can find our podcast at twobullsinachinashop.com or just search Two Bulls in a China Shop wherever you stream your podcasts. Well, hello and welcome everyone. You've made it to the China Shop. I'm Shopkeeper Dan. With me as always is Kyle, creator of financialineptitude.com. Kyle's celebrating big promotion today. He's the new assistant Pokemon hairdresser. How you doing today, Kyle?
I thought those were for guests.
Yeah, but, you know, I felt bad that you hadn't had a promotion in a while, so I thought you've been putting in a lot of extra hours. You really earned it.
Well, thank you. It's good to be recognized.
Yeah. How are you doing, man?
A little off. We're trying to do this on Friday instead of Saturday. It's fucking me up.
Really, really fucking you up. But hey, at least, you know, you'll have to figure out something else to do tomorrow.
Well, maybe it'll be a new normal.
Yeah, we get these out on Friday evenings instead of Saturday evenings.
That'd be nice for you.
You'd get a weekend too.
Yeah, but I don't know what to do with a weekend.
Crypto, Kyle, crypto.
I guess I could do that.
You could trade futures on the weekend as well.
Yeah.
Anyway, come on into the shop with us today, folks. Sit back, relax, hedge against the rage machine. We'd like to welcome any new listeners just joining us. We're here smashing our way into a complete set of fine china, sharing those ever-growing strategies for maximizing gains and cutting losses. If you're new to the shop and stock trading in general, you can always check out the Knowledge Center on financialineptitude.com, which I just went on yesterday, was showing a friend. Really, it's just looking awesome these days, man. You're doing such a good job keeping up with that website. Just great.
Wasn't me.
Always growing.
Wasn't me.
Thank you, Laura.
Yes, there you go.
You can also, check out any of our beginning trading episodes. Give those a listen. We'll have those links in the episode description. The best place to be is on our Discord server. Kyle and I get on there every day. It's really just an awesome place to be, growing and growing with all of y'all. And it's just, I love it. Always warms my heart to log on there and see another string of messages I missed and I need to catch up on.
Right.
When you do join that server, go ahead, send us a private message or an email with your personal home address or business address so we can send you a smash it yourself mug or shot glass and straight from the shop. And Kyle, I think we just get something else new to send people?
The beer koozies just showed up today. The new mug designs have not shipped yet, though.
Okay. Well, we got beer koozies now.
Did you mention the resource page when you talked about the Knowledge Center?
No. Oh, I meant to. And that's the whole reason I brought up the fact that I was on there. Yeah, there's a resource page. And I was showing my friend all of the definitions and the lingo, the jargon.
The resource ones is the one that has the links to all the like charting tools and any of the stuff that we put in the episode descriptions. Like it's just a place to collect all those things, like how to draw a trend line or what's a cup and handle. Like anytime we post those on the website, we're trying to collect them all in one spot so that way they're easier to find.
Oh, it's awesome. Glad that there's a one place that those get collected on.
Yeah, we should have done that a lot sooner. Been a lot easier than going back through and listening to every episode again.
Yeah, it's a lot of effort. It's a labor of love. Okay, so where are we at here?
I have no idea.
I think it's time for some show news.
Oh, all right, we can do that. Let's see. This week we've got Matt Rayner. He is a certified financial planner, so we've got two of those in a row.
Yes.
Which wasn't supposed to work out that way, but we had to reschedule him when I was having some back issues. Mm-hmm. The week after that, we'll have Caleb, the crypto guy, Dan's friend. December, Rich Friesen's back, and then James McInnes, founder of Odd Burger. And still working on planning the super bonus episode. We've got some more guests committed, just trying to get everything scheduled. It's going to be real hectic editing for Dan, so... I'm apologizing for that now in advance, but should be a really good episode.
Oh yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I really, really am.
Also in news, we did sponsor Team Mandalore. One of our listeners runs a bike gang, I guess you can say. A biker gang.
Biker gang.
Mountain bikes, so it's more endearing.
Yes.
But they do a really awesome thing where they sponsor little girls and younger people. They call them the foundlings. So part of our donation is going to be sending three of these girls to a weekend retreat at a bike park that's going to be closed completely for them. Let them get breakfast, hot chocolate, morning skills clinics.
Oh, that's awesome.
And we should be getting an embarrassing video out of it too. So really looking forward to that.
Hell yeah.
But we'll put a link to that page too, because I really like this, what they're doing there. So if anybody else wants to join in with us, you'll find the link in the description.
Yes, please do. Please do. I'm excited to see the embarrassing video. Very, very happy to be a part of helping people have a good time and expand their skills in any way.
Especially if it's outside.
right. Doing a physical activity. I'd like to sponsor 5 children to get better at typing on their iPhones.
I like to just buy everyone an Xbox.
Fantastic. All right, so we got good stuff coming up on the show. We got a great, definitely have that link in the episode description for anybody to follow and donate along with us. It's for a great cause, getting kids outdoors. But sit back. We have got a vast, venerable, verbose show for you today. Plenty of market-moving news, stocks on the radar, and more options than toes at a foot farm.
Gross. Feet are nasty.
I don't know. I didn't write anything down. That was just the first thing that popped in my head because I was looking at my bare foot.
It's better when you plan.
Off to a roll. This Friday's messing with me, too.
I know.
Reach out to us, folks. We love your messages and comments on Twitter and Facebook and Discord. We have that link to the Discord in the episode description. Or if you're old school, just send an email to 2bulls. That's the number 2bulls at financialineptitude.com. Or if you're so inclined, you can also give us a phone call, 725-22-BULLS. Maybe you got a hot stock tip. Maybe you want to tell us about a great trade you just made, or maybe you were just hitchhiking through Oregon and the cops start hassling you and hunting you through the woods and you've got a strike back.
You already did, Rambo.
Damn it!
I didn't watch anything this week. we did get a message, though, didn't we? Maybe we should play that.
Ooh, we did get a message on the old answering machine. Let's give that a listen.
Yes, my name is from the Pekin UPS store. You guys had sent out a package to California back on the 4th. We were calling to see if you had maybe a street address for a because unfortunately they cannot deliver to a box number. If you could, just give us a call back and let us know if you have that address. Thank you, and have a nice day. Bye.
Oh,
okay.
Right. Well, maybe we need a real address for this guy then. If you're listening, please send us your actual address and we'll make sure you get that mug sent to you.
Kyle, I bleeped out Joe's name.
I know.
Okay. Yeah. You know who you are.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Thank you, Don, for reaching out. We always love it when our fans talk to us.
Only 6 more messages until we get the big winner for caller number 9.
Caller number 9. Oh, yeah. Good stuff. All right. Well, Kyle.
Should we do a bet?
I made a bad bet pick.
I know you did. I knew it when you made it.
When I made it.
But I don't care.
Yeah.
You're not catching me.
You know what? There is a level of demoralization when, like, you start out the month so strong and I don't. It's like, well, none of this matters. I'll just pick random two. I'm not going to catch him. He's going to put big, good stop losses in.
It should be, right? Yes.
Anyway, I picked PEI. opened at $1.49. It hit my stop pretty quick at $1.40.
Well, at least you had a good stop.
Yeah, I should have done it even tighter. Jesus.
You should have shorted it.
I should have shorted it. I would be doing, I'd be closing in.
When you said that you were trying to pick the bottom on this thing, like I was going to, you know, bottom pickers get stinky fingers. Isn't that the saying?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, I've been off my game for a little while, for a little bit. I'm trying to get back on it. Anyway, bought my back total from $472.99 down to $444.42. So no special bonus for getting quadruple four fours, but you know, there I get to look at it at least on the piece of paper.
Was it 444.42 or 440.42?
Yeah, 444 was my my calculations. It opened at $1.49.
I'm just writing at $1.40. My notes. So 444.42. Quadruple fours.
All four fours.
Yeah. Okay. I had Live Nation open the week at 113.07. I was shorting it. It was strong most of the week until Friday when it finally started to drop. It was below 110 at one point, but it ended up closing at 112.52. So that, I think I made like $3 on it. Took my total up from 599.58 to 602.50.
Oh. Nice.
Yeah.
Kicking my ass.
And then Random had AUDC. Was that Audacity? Is that Audacity? Is that what we're using to record too?
I don't think they're a publicly traded company.
Oh, Audio Codes. It's Audio Codes. They opened at 36.32, closed at 35.67, which takes Random down to 487.63. So you might still be able to beat Random if you take things seriously.
Oh, well, that's been my problem my whole life, not taking things seriously. Jesus.
And if you stick around to the end here, we've actually got a special Random brought to us by a listener.
Yes. Listener bet pick. Ooh, I'm excited. It's the first.
Yeah.
That's right, listeners. Now you can kick my ass at stock picks. Yeah, try picking on a Monday. Yeah, you have to buy on a Monday. That's madness. Anyway. All right, should we move along, talk about some news?
Yes, please.
Well, we all know why we're listening today. The shop is bursting with the week to replay. So sit back, we got some market affairs. Get some stories for the bulls and the bears. Clowns running companies, laws change overnight. Here we are, it's time for China Shop News. Yeah, now, it's time for China Shop News.
Hey, Kyle, remember the Fed tapering?
Yeah, the thing they just announced.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it might not be enough.
Already?
Already. Vice Chair Richard Clarida, one of the Fed's vice chairmen, announced at the Fed's 2021 Asia Economic Policy Conference that it may well be appropriate at the December Fed meeting to have a discussion about increasing the pace at which we are reducing our balance sheet.
So inflation's not transitory anymore, is that what I'm hearing?
Yes. Clarita noted the upside risk to already high inflation, but he added that the economy is in a very strong position, so we can handle it.
All right. Rapid improvement in the labor market, deteriorating inflation data. Does that mean inflation's getting worse or that inflation's eroding away? It's a funny turn of phrase.
That's a good question. let me call him. Let me text him real quick.
All right. Let me know what he says.
that's Fed Governor Christopher Waller saying that. I'm surprised that they're saying it publicly.
All shocks tend to be transitory and fade away. By this logic, the Fed should never respond to any shocks, but sometimes it does, as it should. That sentence makes no sense, Waller. Why are we listening to this guy? All right, so they might be increasing the speed of the taper.
Yes.
This was announced a couple days ago, wasn't it? Or was this today? I thought I heard somebody speaking about inflation being worse than they thought, like kind of like breaking the tone that Powell had been setting. I thought that was either yesterday or Wednesday.
This article dropped today.
Okay.
The one I'm reading. That doesn't mean it happened today. Just the Reuters story that we'll have a link to.
Everything that we've been seeing, though, makes it sound like the Fed's starting to slowly change their tune.
Yeah.
On what inflation is. It's not, doesn't seem to be as transitory as they thought initially.
Yes. You know, when I started out my life as an adult poor, I told myself this is a transitory poorness.
Right.
And it's still there. It's still transitory, you know, but, you know, I'm hoping the Fed will start buying my bonds and stocks.
Time is an illusion.
Yeah, you get into that quantum entanglement shit. It's all happening together simultaneously. So,
What else we got? No,
nothing is transitory.
I've got a story that popped up today, too, that I feel like we need to talk about. I'm going to try to not step on any of the landmines that this brings with it, but apparently Europe is getting hit pretty hard with the COVID lockdowns. Our COVID cases spiking again.
Oh, yeah.
And even Austria, I think, has announced like a full lockdown taking effect on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first one, and they're saying that it's going to include both vaccinated and unvaccinated and will last for 10-day minimum, but could be extended another 10 days.
Ooh.
So this is the first one to happen, and it all kind of started slow like that before, right?
Yep.
I think that's what, I was listening to George talk about this. It made the point that, like when they started in America, it was supposed to be like a couple weeks just to flatten the curve. And then like a year later, we're still dealing with it. So yeah, this could be not good for the markets if more countries start to follow suit with this. So it's definitely something we want to keep an eye on.
Yes. Yes. Oh yeah. Well, even if it just stayed in Europe, the drop in demand for the goods that Europe consumes is going to affect everybody.
Well, hopefully it'll weaken the supply crisis.
Oh, right.
Maybe allow some people to catch up with their orders.
Well, nothing's going to Europe. Let's move it everywhere else.
I doubt that'll happen.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Anyway, what else you got for news, Dan?
Now that the $1 trillion infrastructure bill has become law, the current Biden administration is now setting their sights on the Build Back Better Act.
Biden's Build Back Better.
Biden's Build Back Better Act.
Taking classes from you in alliteration.
Yeah, everybody, come buy some Biden's Build Back Better Act. Anyway. The thing that caught my eye is potential tax incentives for buying electric vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
And they're talking about a $7,500 tax credit just to purchase an EV.
Mm-hmm.
And then an extra $500 if that vehicle's battery is made in the U.S.
Oh.
And then an additional $4,500 tax credit if the vehicle's assembled domestically with union labor.
Huh.
Which apparently Toyota has called blatantly biased and wrong. And Elon Musk is also against it because he doesn't use union labor.
Right. It was also interesting, too, is that Biden, I think he called Detroit like the center of like EV, like the leaders or some weird language like that when like, you know, Musk is sitting there and like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, I did that.
I actually kind of agree with them. Yeah. I don't know if you ever saw that documentary, Who Killed the Electric Car, but they were developing it in the 90s and it was Detroit that was like, nope, cut it. Get rid of it.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me.
I don't know about the actual union thing, but I think if the car is, you know, assembled with American labor, like, I'm all for the tax credit. That's actually something that'll help American jobs.
American labor is all you need to just stop there. You're good.
Yeah. Anyway, lots of critics of the bill. That's not obviously not the only thing in the bill.
Right.
But I got to say, I love the idea of tax credits for getting electric vehicles, more electric vehicles on the road.
How much is an electric vehicle now, though?
Last time I was looking, the lower range was like 30 to 35K.
Okay, that's not how long ago was that though?
Oh, that's true. That would have been like a year ago.
Ooh, yeah, we should look at that now because the value of cars has gone up quite a bit lately.
That's true.
There's been a lot of transitory inflation since then.
my Kia is gaining in value somehow. Why is my car worth more this year than it was last year? So I guess the 2022 Nissan Leaf has a base price of $28,000.
That's not too bad.
No.
What does it look like? Is it the size of a leaf blower or is it a decent sized car?
No, it kind of looks like a sporty futuristic Subaru Outback.
Oh, okay.
It gets about 150 to 200 miles range. But I mean, like Mini Cooper's got one for 30K. The Chevy Bolt's got one for 32K. Mazda 35. Like everybody's jumping on board. Hyundai has a $35,000 one. The Ioniq.
No, that's not terrible.
So they're competitive price-wise now. I was going to say, to put the cherry on top of it, I was going to talk about this in stocks, but I guess it correlates. Apple is talking about making an autonomous car.
Yeah, I did see that. I hope it works better than their stupid map.
Right.
God, I don't know how many times that map thing takes me to that. Like trying to go to like a furniture place, and like the wife's like, "You got to turn left." I'm like, "I'm looking. It's right there on the right. I can see it." The map says it's a mile this way. I'm like, no, it's not. It's right there.
It's not. It's right.
Apple Maps is stupid.
Oh, it really is. But and on that news, I mean, especially this the infrastructure bill that included charging stations. Mm-hmm. Apple saying autonomous car. It's actually caused a bump in some different stocks, AEVA, Ava Technologies, Innoviz Technologies, INVZ, Ouster, OUST, and then we even have some actual other electric car companies that people are speculating Apple might just buy, like Lucid Group, LCID, Rivian, RIVN, Hyzen Motors, HYZN, Fisker, FSR. Yeah, Aurora Innovation, AUR. So a lot of fun EV action happening right now. Now that we're building charging stations and we might be getting big old tax credits for buying them, it definitely, that industry is starting to really explode.
All right. Well, I've got one other story if you're ready to move on to some marijuana.
Yes, always. Hold on, let me get my pipe.
Find it here. So the CEOs of like pretty much every major American cannabis industry cannabis company has gotten together, and they're trying to push President Biden to fulfill his campaign promise of decriminalizing cannabis and granting a blanket pardon to all nonviolent marijuana offenders.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that Biden was like running on this platform saying that he was going to decriminalize it. And I mean, that shows you how much I pay attention to politics, but
I was just going to say who was paying attention this last presidential election cycle to any of the details of their policies.
I know, right?
Nobody. It was brand versus brand. I mean, yeah. That's what politics is these days.
It's been 2 years, and the Democrat stranglehold on the Congress is starting to look a little less, sure, and a lot more tentative.
If it was ever even there.
Well, I mean the Senate one has always been kind of iffy, just because it's a 50-50 split right now. But the House is even looking like it's getting closer to flipping. So if they want to push this thing through, and this thing get Republican support, like they need to do it now.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I had expected it to happen by now, and I'm really sad that it hasn't. Pot stocks are, they're not doing too great.
Yeah, I think everyone was expecting this to happen.
Yeah, and the longer it doesn't happen, the more people are like, okay, I'll sell my fucking pot stock.
I mean, they still make money. They need to do something. They have to do something. It's ridiculous that an industry generates $18 billion in revenue and is illegal.
Right?
Anyway.
And is illegal. We'll get there. Yeah. We'll get there.
All right. Should we move on, or do you have any other stories?
I got some stories, but they're all about the amazing, inimitable Sue Pullen.
Got a lot of cash sitting around that you don't know what to do because you've been making money listening to us? Maybe it's time to put that into some real estate. Sue can help.
Because Two Bulls in a China Shop is proudly brought to you by Sue Pullen at Fairway Independent Mortgage, an equal housing lender. Sue Pullen can help you get that cash into a house.
She can turn money into houses. It's crazy.
I've seen her do it as a party trick.
I've also seen her turn houses into money.
Yeah. Yeah, she's just a sorceress. Yeah. Her powers know no bounds. She's a certified mortgage advisor focusing on finding the right product for you and your needs. She's got over 20 years of experience helping thousands of homeowners, whether it's purchasing, refinancing, or even reverse mortgages. Sue will help. And Kyle, I look forward to the day when I say tens of thousands of homeowners.
Right.
She's licensed in 27 states.
Oh, that number is probably already there, by the way.
Tens of thousands? Oh, shit.
Oh, I'm sure.
That's awesome.
I've seen her order book.
So reach out. See what Sue can do for you. Best way to reach her, just give her a call, 520-977-7904, or you can shoot her an email, SPULLEN at fairwaymc.com. Fairway Independent Mortgage has an MLS number, 2289. Sue Pullen has an MLS number, 206048. That email again is SPullen at fairwaymc.com, and that phone number, 520-977-7904. See what Sue can do for everyone, including yourself.
Sue operates within the physical realm. Nothing about her job is magic or her methods.
Or metaphysical.
All right. Two Bowls of Cheddar Shop is also proudly affiliated with Trade Pro Academy.
Trade Pro!
Trade Pro Academy is an educational platform that offers institutional trader development programs to new and experienced independent traders. Working on new updates to that, too. If you have been taking the futures courses like we have, hopefully, and then soon after in the beginning of 22, I think, is when we're supposed to start seeing those coming up. I know Jory's been working on them behind the scenes. They got a great staff of highly knowledgeable and successful traders, and we know because we've talked to them all on this show.
Yes!
You can find them online at tradeproacademy.com, or you can use our affiliate link in the episode description. If you join that Discord, too, we've got discount code and links that get you a solid, hard one negotiated 10% off.
Yes, and it's worth it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was just... We started going back and looking at the stocks that we've been picking. Like, we do the next segment coming up here, and we look at the ones that we're watching, we got our eyes on, and been posting those on Fridays. So I've done two versions of it, basically, since we started doing that segment. And we've been picking some really good fucking stocks, Dan.
Hell yeah.
A year ago, we were not doing this.
No.
A year ago, it was like, hey, everybody's talking about this on Reddit. Look at it go up. Buy it. Oh no, where'd my money go?
Jinko Solar. Jinko Solar.
Hey, this one's got earnings coming up. Maybe they'll crush it.
Yeah.
No, it's gambling. Don't do that anymore.
Don't do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, we've come a long way in the year that we've been doing this show. And man, it's nice to see it all finally starting to come together.
Yeah. And it's all thanks to technical analysis learned from Trade Pro.
Not just Trade Pro, every other guest that we've had on too. I think every guest that we've had has taught us something.
They're all so good. I love our guests. That's why I'm excited about this year-end show.
Me too.
I really do want to talk to all these people again. They've all been such great resources of knowledge. And everybody's so willing to share their knowledge.
Yeah.
They're just, yeah, okay, yeah, here. I learned this. You should learn it too.
Right.
Oh, wow. I thought stock traders were like stuffy, selfish people.
No, not really.
No, they're not. Not the ones we talk to anyway.
Nope.
All right, speaking of stocks, Kyle.
All right.
You say you own a ticker that wins. The bell just rung, it's time to get in. Ups drive us wild, drops drive us crazy.
Lost my shit. I honestly, Kyle, I thought you were fucking with me in the pre-call when we were talking, and you were like, got any stocks you want to talk about that you're looking at? I'm like, yeah, the first one, talk about Capital One, COF. And you're like, yeah, that's one of mine.
Yeah.
I was like, no, you're fucking lying.
TSM was my other one.
Yeah. And then he's like, got any others? I'm like, TSM. He's like, yeah, that's my other one. I'm like, bullshit, you're fucking with me.
Well, let's do the story ones first, and then we'll go on to those two.
Okay. All right. The one stock that I was looking at, because I saw a news article come out, CVS, the pharmacy convenience store, has announced they are closing 900 of their brick and mortar locations.
Huh, when did they announce that?
I think today.
Oh, okay. So it is reacting to that news at the nice down candle?
Yeah. I guess pharmacies are on the decline. Now, this is probably good news for Dollar General, but they're one of their competitors that doesn't have a pharmacy. I did not load up the Dollar General chart. I did load up the CVS chart, and they were at their high for the year right after, you know, they had great earnings at the beginning of the month.
Not an all-time high. Yeah, okay. I see that. I'm looking. I just scroll out, too. Yeah.
They got up to, like, 96.57 and just looking at their chart, it's at where we want it to hold as support.
Yeah, 92.25.
Yeah, the wick of the can, today's candle, touched that bottom of that support and pull back up off of it. But I don't know if it's going to hold off of news like and we're going to shut down.
There's a small gap below too.
Yeah, from 92.25.
I mean, it's not much of one, but
it's a dollar gap.
Yeah.
But yeah, you'd expect that gap to get closed, filled.
So if that 92 quarter doesn't hold, then where are you looking for the next support?
There's on the volume profile, there is support at 91, but below that, looking at 89, and I don't think it's going to see really strong support till it gets down to 85, 86.
I think 87, 50-ish, somewhere around there is probably the strongest, looking at the daily.
Yeah, because it had that double top.
Yeah.
Right at 87.50. Yeah. So that would be my target for the downside. Going to keep an eye on it. I might pick up some puts if the volume picks up, because it did have some decent volume today.
Just remember, you want to see the break and then retest if you're playing the buy the dip strategy. I'm not saying that for you. I'm saying that for the listener.
Yeah. No, I agree. Like, no, that's always the higher probability.
Yep. So what you want to see is that sure. 92 quarter fail as support, the price drop below it, then come back up and retest it, and that's when you get your entry.
Yeah. If it breaks 92.25 and retests it, and that support becomes resistance, like that's a good move.
Yep.
That's what we look for.
I've got one that was submitted to us by Shano on the Discord, a story about Ford.
We've talked about Ford Z before.
We've talked about Ford a few times. I actually just had some of my shares called away.
Oh, poor guy.
Ford and GM are stepping into the semiconductor business. So
that's crazy to me.
Well, I mean, it makes sense, and they rely so much on it. I mean, how many stories have we seen about automakers having to shut down production because they couldn't get chips?
Right. I guess it's like McDonald's making their own ketchup packets. Like,
yeah, there you go.
Vertical integration.
On Thursday, Ford outlined their strategic agreement with U.S.-based semiconductor manufacturer GlobalFoundries, ticker GFS, mm-hmm. developed chips, pack that could eventually lead to joint U.S. production. And then GM later said it was forging ties with some of the biggest names, including Qualcomm and NXP Semiconductors. Has agreements in place to co-develop and manufacture chips.
Okay.
So, looking at Ford, I was still watching this because I think Ford has a gap to fill too. Or it did.
All right, do you have the Ford chart pulled up?
No, maybe not. No, it doesn't. I'm looking at it now. No, it doesn't. I don't know why I thought that.
I'm looking at the weekly candle chart.
Yeah.
And last week and this week are both dojis at the top.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. This definitely looks like it's getting ready to drop.
So I'm looking at that, just looking at market structure. I think if it starts to drop, we're looking for $16 to $16.25 it range to be support for the next tear upward.
I have 18, but only because if you go back to 2013-14, there was a double top there. But so much time has passed from that I wouldn't count on that to. I wouldn't count on that to hold as much anymore. Yeah, 1650 is probably a stronger one.
Yeah, and this looks like it's following market structure pretty darn good. If you go back to March, it had that high at like 13.5, dipped down, hit up to 16, dipped down to like 13
mm-hmm.
area, held as support, and then it's just taken off from there.
I've had my levels drawn on here for a while, and they've all been working out pretty well.
Yeah.
So yeah, keep an eye on that. What do we watch for? 19, let's say, is the break?
Yes. Oh, totally. 100% agreement. 19, below 19, I think it's going to catch at 60. I think it's got a ways.
All right.
I mean, obviously, it's not going to happen in a day and be all clear and clean, but...
No, this is one that if you want to try to play options on it, you want to buy yourself a lot of time.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. All right, should we talk about Capital One?
Yes, let's talk about Capital One.
What put it in my eyes, it's actually been on my TradingView watch list for a while.
Me too.
I
think I added it when you mentioned you were watching it. I went back and drew some trend lines on it, and I pulled it up today just looking through all of my everything on my watch list to see what stands out. This one definitely stands out.
It popped up on a FinViz screener. I was showing Ryan, one of our Discord users. I was over his house and I was showing him FinViz screeners,
mm-hmm.
and it popped up on a descending triangle search for their technical analysis.
Almost looks like a massive head and shoulders kind of.
It does to me. That's why I found it interesting. But it's saying like the it's got the bottom, I think, at 148, 149.
Mm-hmm.
range, and then the current triangle would then be from its two tops, or from the tops, 178.
Yeah.
Not a strong triangle yet, but it's really threatening a fall.
Well, when I first started looking at this dock, I had a support line drawn at 150, 190, I think is where it ended up lining up. And then when I was looking at it today, I saw where it kind of gapped down from that earnings, bounced off of that support, and then hit it again, and now it's below that, trying to get above it again.
Yep.
That's why it stood out to me, because now that support has turned into resistance. This is the point where you want to try to grab it,
mm-hmm.
Write it down to what looks like you probably get it all the way down to maybe 135, below 140 for sure.
135 was the last time I drew a line down there.
There's also a little gap too. It's also another gap on this one, around the 140 to 142 area.
Yeah, and it didn't spend much time.
Yep.
Going from 140 up to 150, you know, not a ton of volume, real thin volume in that area.
Yeah, so there's not really much to hold it, to support it when it goes through it again.
Yeah, I almost wish I had caught this earlier in the day to pick up some puts today.
Well, we'll see how it reacts on Monday. We can.
Yeah.
We take an extra day of information.
Yeah, yeah. The next high volume move lower, I'm gonna look to try and get on board.
Yeah, me too.
The put train on Capital One Financial.
All right, the other one that we both found, oddly enough, is Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing, TSM. I've been watching this one because it's just been banging around in this channel, and I was actually just waiting for the opportunity to bring it up.
Oh, yeah.
Because you can either just try to play the range where it's sitting right now, is you'd want to buy puts and try to ride it all the way back down to 108 area.
Uh-huh.
Or if it breaks above this 125, then you're looking to get long and hopefully see if we can retest that 142, maybe push a new all-time high.
Yeah, and if you zooming out on the weekly, this range looks like it's just a long-term consolidation from that new all-time high,
mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
You had the impulse from 80 up to 140, and then it's pulled back to 100, and it's been going from, 108 to, like Kyle said, 125.
Yeah.
Just bouncing back and forth since fucking March.
Yeah, it's been doing it for a while.
So I actually think this is about to break out. I in this one for a long play. But you know, if you're a trade pro, you're not just counting on one way or the other. You're watching.
You wait for waiting for the move to happen. The
confirmation.
Yeah. Let the market tell you what it wants to do and ride that momentum.
Yeah. But it's been doing pretty good since beginning of October. Higher highs, lower lows. So higher highs, higher lows.
Yep.
Yeah, I really, really like eyeing this one, especially with all the semiconductor shortages.
Mm-hmm.
In the news, any semiconductor company can, let's face it, the price of GPUs shooting up. We know that they're just making more money with every chip they do produce.
They should be at this point.
Or
they're terrible businesses, and the stock's going to go down.
Maybe Ford and GM are going to drive it down by doing their own.
That's kind of what I was wondering.
Semiconductors.
New capacity starts opening up. That might take a dent out of their stranglehold. But they're, I think, the main supplier of AMD, and I know that they were working on a deal too with Intel, but I'm not sure if that ever actually went through or not. There's one other stock that I was going to bring up, and this is because user on YouTube, Pop Squash, asked us to take a look at it, and that's Aquestive Therapeutics. He said that he thought that there was a bunch of catalysts coming out on this, and it was a stock that he really liked.
What's the ticker?
AQST. So when I shared it with them, I drew a level at that 637 where that looks like a three times it's tested that area but wasn't able to break above. And then I had another level drawn out at 550 is where I thought it would find support. And it looks like it did find that support there. I wouldn't want to buy this unless it broke above that 637 level.
Mm.
But it did find support at that 550, which is encouraging to see. We'll see if it can continue up now and re-challenge that level. But that's what I would be watching, especially if you wanted to go long on it.
Yeah, yeah. Let me look at the daily instead of the weekly. Yeah, it did. It did find that support right at 550, and it lines up with that other top. Yeah.
If that 550 failed, I had another level drawn out at like 470-ish, somewhere in that area.
Yeah.
Which should be another. And then ultimately all the way down at 3.
Yeah, that's where I'd really want to buy it.
Well, I think if it gets to three, I don't want it anymore. I think at that point you're I mean, at this point, it's still on a downward trend. If you scroll out and look, it's still on a downward trend. If you draw a line from the September 10th of 2020, you can draw a line on the... Let me put that on there, actually. So it did break out of that downward trend.
Well, had a big gap from 750 down to 5.
Yeah, look how nicely it filled it, too.
Yeah.
So it's...
We get pretty quick.
Yeah, the downward trend it had been on, that structure's been broken. But it still needs to make a higher high, so really you want to see it clear $7 to at least clear one of those peaks and then make a lower low or a higher low.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. All-time low at $1.50.
Well, it's a bio company, so those ones are definitely a lot more volatile.
Really volatile.
Yes. You have to be careful with those because, if they're 10-year studies and they goes to shit, then technicals don't matter. That stock is going away.
It does, zoomed out looking at the weekly, it does look like we've turned like it's beginning to do a cup and we might see the handle form right now.
Ah, interesting. Remind me to put those in the description.
Call it rounded bottom, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, rounded bottom looks more. I think that's better.
I do like trying to catch this for the long, and I also agree with you. I want to see it, well, ultimately break 8, but you know, I want to see it break that $6 range and retest where it's at now.
At least it has to break 637. Ideally, at least I'd like to see it break 7 and then challenge that 8.
Yes. Yeah, last thing I'll say is we still have the 20-day moving average under the 100, but it is pointed, it is closing in. So This could be the beginning of beautiful things for AQST.
All right. Well, thank you to Pop Squash for bringing that to our attention. We'll make notes of this one and follow up on it in a month.
All right.
Should we hit some earnings and move on?
Yeah, let's talk about some earnings.
My motto's always been, when I'm right, it's right. So I'll wait and watch the charts and the change in price. When the movement's mostly finished at the end of the day, and we know the coming earnings gonna move it my way. Skyrockets in sight, earnings call to light. Earnings call to light.
Well, there's not much. 22nd, we've got Zoom. On the 23rd, we've got Dell, Hewlett Packard, HPQ, Best Buy, BBY, and Dollar Tree. On the 24th, we've got Deere, John Deere, DE, and Futu, FUTU. Nothing of note on Thanksgiving or Black Friday. And we're getting into that dead spot of earnings, so it should be safe to trade again here soon.
Okay. Thank God. I do hate seeing the earnings pop up. Like when I'm looking at a chart, I'm like, I love it. And I'm like, oh, earnings in 3 days? God damn it.
Shit. Can you delay that?
Yeah, put it off a couple weeks so I can make this sweet, sweet trade. Okay. Is it time to talk crypto?
I think so.
Look at the news. What do you see? The cult of cryptocurrency. I know you're greedy. I know you need. You need that Bitcoin, Ether, NFT. Cult of cryptocurrency.
All right. I only have one crypto story.
Good, because it's one more than I have.
Oh, I guess I do have. I'll start off with a personal story. I put $5 in Shibu coin, Shibu Inu.
Oh, yeah.
However you pronounce it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I watched it go from $5 down to $4.50. Nice. And I moved it over to Ethereum.
You're doing it right.
Well, 10% drop in 3 days. All right.
Lucky it's only $5.
I know. I'm trying to dip my toes in crypto.
Yeah, I've been doing the same thing.
It's a big story I came across. I don't know if it's a big story. There's probably bigger stories, but The story I came across that made me chuckle. U.S. Senator Ted Cruz has introduced a bill to repeal the crypto provision in the $1 trillion infrastructure package. He said it's a devastating attack on the crypto industry, and he urges his colleagues in the Senate to repeal this harmful language that will create regulatory uncertainty and, in turn, an unnecessary barrier to innovation. And it's, I was like, what the hell? Crypto's under attack. Yeah, it's... it's the fact that you have to report your information to the IRS now.
What?
Yeah.
Well,
that's what he wants to undo.
The problem with it was the definition of the broker, or the term broker. It was it was way too loose the way it was defined. So the people who would have to report that information to the IRS are people that would never collect that information. Some of them, it could be the way the law was read. I don't know if I call it a devastating attack, but it was definitely, it seemed like a bit of an oversight. Like, it almost seems the government doesn't understand crypto at all.
They clearly don't. I don't.
Is it a currency, or is it an asset, or is it a security?
Is it a floor wax or a dessert topping? Well, it's a little bit of both.
Yeah, so there is a little sum to what he's trying to get fixed, but I don't know that repealing it is necessarily the right answer. But yeah, definitely.
He wants to strike all the crypto language.
I mean, I don't know. Come with something better. Maybe then you'll get it changed.
Right. I mean, what's he going to do? Define crypto? Like,
yeah. Go ahead. Do it. Somebody needs to.
Somebody does need to. But nobody's going to try and do that, because that's hard. It's right. Easy to just remove language somebody else put, but it's hard to be like, okay, let me define crypto for you. I did come across George from Trapro Academy when we were listening to one of the future Zooms calls. He brought up the idea of purchasing a node on the Ethereum network.
Yes.
And that's got me really intrigued, Kyle. I'm really into that idea.
I really was liking that idea, or at least what he was saying, because it sounds like what you're doing then is, if you purchase that node, you're collecting all the gas fees for all the transactions.
Mm-hmm.
And that sounds awesome, especially with as high as Ethereum's transaction fees are. So that's something we need to look up. Let's make it a point to talk about that on next week's episode, after we actually do a little bit of research about what it takes to do that.
Yeah, and if any of listeners out there have any insight into that, please reach out to us. Let us know. We would love, love, love that information.
Yes, please tell us. Yes, because we are very interested in hearing more about this. Passive income through crypto.
I mean, I'm ready to rob a bank to get the seed money. Wait, I'll bleep that.
No, don't do that. You don't want them playing this at your trial.
Oh, you would give them the tapes too, you son of a bitch.
I don't have them. You don't give them to me.
That's true. All right, good. Whew. All right, so I'm in the clear.
Reach for them, mister.
Ah, oh, shit, you got me. Oh, God. Oh, it's so ugly.
All right, Dan, I'm going to break tradition a little bit here, because I think we have a double good for ourselves.
Okay.
And I'm going to go ahead and just commandeer it.
Okay.
I was chatting with one of our Discord users who's telling us about one of their friends who's a listener but isn't on the Discord. So first of all, shame on you. Join the Discord, please.
Please. Yeah.
Get your free stuff. But he has been listening to our show. He's a complete newbie. He's been listening to the show for about the last 6 months, it sounds like. He's a complete newbie when it came to the stock market. He's managed to run, I think he turned a $400 account into, I think on the third it was up to $600. So in the 6 months he's realized he had like a 33% return. Is that my math right there? It's pretty fucking good for a beginner.
That's a 50% return, Kyle.
50%. Thank you. That's pretty goddamn good return.
Yeah.
For somebody who's just getting their feet wet. Be really proud of that, man. We're happy that you're listening to us and you're finding some success. So it sounds like some of those returns might have fallen off a little bit over this past week, but you know, hey, still doing good, buddy. Just remember to take some profits.
Take your profits. Yeah. Take them when you got them. It does warm my heart, Kyle. It does make me feel good about what we're doing. Because sometimes I get a little stressed at constantly working. Not stressed at like looking at stocks, but like putting together content for the show.
Yeah.
Having to constantly, like, oh, gotta edit another episode, gotta record another phone call, gotta work. But knowing that people are out there learning,
it makes it worth it. It makes it feel all worth it.
Yeah, it's all been worth it.
And then, you know, that's not the first story that we've gotten with that. That's the first one I think we've gotten permission to share. But yeah, these stories are starting to become a little more common. And, you know, thank you guys for sticking with us.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, absolutely. Oh, I love this little community we've started in the China shop.
Mm-hmm, me too. Mm-hmm.
That is a good.
All right, now that's some bad.
Oh. I'll lead off with a bad.
Yes, please.
I let some trading get to me emotionally yesterday,
mm-hmm.
more than it should have, and I've been making money on Disney puts all week.
Yeah,
and I was like, I made a move in to some Disney puts, and I was like, all right, if it breaks $156, I'm moving out. And price went from, you know, I bought them at like $155.50, and then like it's going up and down, and it goes up and it breaks 156, gets to 156.08, I dump them, and that was the peak of that pullback, and it proceeded to go right back to fucking falling. And I shouldn't have been hard on myself, but like I spent an hour so angry at myself for following my plan. Like, I shouldn't feel bad for following my plan. Like, obviously, 156 was the level. Like, maybe I should have let it breathe a little more, but I followed my plan. I got out when I told myself was when to get out, but I was bummed at myself for a bit for that.
The other thing, yeah, you got to remember, too, that we don't have the benefit of hindsight when we're having to make these decisions right now. Like, you can't judge your moves based on what happens after you made the move. You have to act with the best information you have available. And at the time, that information was telling you that it was best to protect that capital. The trade was no longer high probability.
Yeah. So,
I had something similar. I was going to talk about the rest of those Visa calls that I had that went to shit, but actually, Coke, I bought a bunch of puts on Coke, $55 puts, that I had a stop loss active on. I think it was a trailing stop that kicked me out right before it made the move that I've been waiting for. So I kind of had the same thing. Yeah, that was kind of distressing me. I've been posting it all week. Hope somebody else got paid on this, because I didn't.
God damn it.
That can be really frustrating. Sometimes you have to walk away from that chart for a little bit too.
Yeah.
Find another stock and then try to find next best trade on that one.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
What was your
me, it's just hard separating the emotions from the process. It's really hard for me to do.
Yeah. Well, you're human.
Yeah, I am human. Which brings me to my ugly.
Okay. All right. Go ahead.
I still struggle. I'm gonna go back to future sim trading, because I keep fucking losing my shit and revenge trading like a gambler. And I gotta stop it. I gotta fucking put the kibosh on it. I gotta take some time, step back, and fucking breathe and sim trade and try and build fucking good steady habits.
You might even just go back and do like a week of observation again.
Yeah.
If you're having bad habits start, because you don't want to sim bad habits too.
It's true. You know, I think that's a really good point, and maybe I'll do that. Maybe I'll even do 2 weeks. I don't know. Mm-hmm. That's just it. I put myself in a position where I felt subconsciously the need to rush and to do it right now and get it right now.
Right.
And that's been bad for me too. So, I think I will go back to just watching, for at least a week and then like ease back into it. Cause, oh man,
well,
bad habits are killer and I need to get rid of them.
If you're doing that, you should completely, zone out. I think I was talking with one of the other Discord users who said he had to basically mute everybody else except for us, of course.
Woo-woo.
But yeah, I don't think that's a terrible idea. Drown out all the noise. Just focus on you and the charts. To get rid of all the George influence, the other, you know, me, everybody. Get rid of everything, and then just focus on you and the charts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Because I refuse to give up.
I do too.
Being a trader, that's not going to happen. So I'm gonna do it right.
Yep. Goddamn right.
And it's just that psychology game, right? What was your ugly?
My ugly was, I owe you an apology. I got a little short with you today on the voice chat. you were trying to open up about some of the struggles you were having, and then I ended up missing a trade, and then I got mad.
Oh, I didn't even notice.
I basically kicked you off. Well, it's been kind of weighing on me a little bit. I think I only took 2 trades this whole day.
Aw.
Because I realized that suddenly I was not in the right mental state either.
See, I walked away from it being like, hey, Dan, Kyle was at work, and you were trying to, like, put your shit onto him. Don't get, like, yeah, he wasn't in the right mindset to talk to you about that. Why'd you fucking throw that on there?
Yeah, but I also didn't need to be kind of...
Like, I felt bad about it, too.
I was a little short with you. I shouldn't have been. I should have just said, like, hey, man, I'm working right now. Could we take this offline?
Or, you know, something. You know I'm at work, right?
Yeah, I could have handled that a little better.
Oh, well, I thank you for saying that. And I feel like I'm obtuse because that went way over my head.
Oh, well, cut this and then I'll pick another one. I rescind my apology.
I rescind that apology, sir.
As unnecessary.
No, that's it. You're stuck with it.
Well, let's make a bet and let's get this shit show over. This love fest. This is getting too... It's getting too lovey-dovey.
Oh, yeah, right?
In the center of a universe, that's for every one of us. Consequence for one of us. Make our picks with no regret. Every open, every close, every spread is the mighty bed.
All right, Kyle, I gotta pick mine first. I've been doing so bad this month. My bet picks have been poor.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that the moment I'm like, I think I should short it, so I'll be long. Like, that doesn't work for me. I'm going to pick NNDM, Nano Dimension LTD.
Ah, interesting.
I think it's, but they got earnings this week. God damn it.
No, it could be good. You need a catalyst.
It could. Yeah. So it's on a downtrend. From the beginning of the month, it was up at like 675, and now it's down at 485. But it looks like it's finding its support right there, and I'm going to bet that it is.
That sounds like what you said last time. Okay, I'm looking at the chart. I'm going to talk you out of this one.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to try to. Large volume on the dump below the level that you pointed out at like, what was that, 530? The 530 support line, somewhere around there. Like, it really... Uh-huh. Had a large spike in the dump yesterday. Today...
All right, so Kyle, I'm shorting NNDM.
Okay, you're shorting it.
Sure. Well, here's what I'm looking at is because it's got earnings on the 4th. Mm-hmm. Typically, when a stock dumps before earnings, any kind of neutral to positive news can cause it to jump.
Okay, that makes more sense. But if that's the case, just go long right before earnings.
Okay, all right, so I'm going to go long on the 23rd.
There you go.
The morning of the 23rd. All right, and I feel like why have a stop loss at this point, right?
Oh, yeah, I mean, this point, yeah. Plus, it's only 3 days. How much can happen in 3 days?
It's true. All right, there we go, final answer. I'm going to go long NNDM the day before earnings.
Okay, well, I was going to say, though, before you... Yeah, really wanted to take that.
Sorry,
we talked about 2 beautiful patterns that we've just been watching. Why don't you make a trade on one of those? Because that's what I'm doing. If you're not going to take it, I'm taking Capital One.
All right, fine.
I'm shorting Capital One.
And I will take TSM.
Do you want to flip the long if it breaks above 126?
I want to just take the long. Yeah. I think it's breaking out. Yeah, I think it's breaking out. So... I'm going to look for the long. If it with a stop at 120, 150, nice tight stop.
TSM stop 121.5. Are you going to flip short if it breaks it?
Yeah, flip short.
Nice. I like that.
All right.
I like that a lot better. All right, I'm going Capital One.
Okay.
I'm going Capital One. I'm putting my stop at. Let's say 155.50.
Yeah, that's solid. Are you gonna have a take profit?
I am. I'm gonna take half at, let's say, about 145, and then I'll let the rest ride with break even.
Yeah, I like it. There you have it. And then we got, not a random, we got a user-submitted competition pick.
We do. The fella who has been doing so good at running his portfolio up has submitted Cleveland Cliffs.
Ooh, Cleveland Cliffs. Do they manufacture cliffs?
No, it's a steel company. Let me find the ticker. CLF.
CLF. Going long.
He wants to go long.
All right. CLF. Well, it did. Does have a nice long tail on it on this week.
Has a bit of a double top at 26. And there should be some solid support at 18. I think I'd like it better at 18. But the stock has been dropping, but volumes have also been decreasing on this entire rundown.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Yep.
So yeah, not a terrible pick. Better than some of the ones we've had.
If this thing pops and takes off, we know who to blame.
Yeah, we got a name this time. And guess what?
If
we beat it, then we expect mustache pictures.
Yes.
No, it's all fun.
I have been getting Frank Zappa comparisons more and more and more.
Oh, it wasn't just on Discord?
It started with Discord. Spectigler shared the photo.
I put the photo up. He's the one who called you Zappa. I can see that.
And then you found the photo. Yeah. Call me Zappa. And I've had two separate people completely unrelated to the show or the Discord be like, really digging your Zappa vibes, man. God damn it.
Oh, that reminds me. I got to post a picture for my birthday dinner. I had the wife take a picture so I could prove that somebody other than her and my daughter saw my mustache.
Right, because you never leave your house.
So, yes, I have left the house, and yes, it was embarrassing.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. It was funny, too, is I didn't realize it until I was getting in the car. I was like, oh, fuck, I have a mustache.
Yeah, man.
Like, oh, god damn it.
Fucking,
like, you forget it's there if you don't look at yourself in the mirror every day.
Yeah, you do. You really do. And then I walk by a mirror and I'm like, who the fuck's that guy?
It's Frank Zappa, bitch.
It's Frank Zappa. What are you doing here? I hate your music. Anyway, all right. There you have it. I got TSM. Kyle's got COF. Listener submissions has a CLF. And you too can submit a bet pick if you want. Just shoot us a message on the Discord or give us a call on the phone or send us an email. You know all the ways.
Yeah.
Of course you do.
Like, subscribe, all the other shit.
Like, subscribe, tell your friends. If you hate the show, tell your enemies. It's all good.
Well, apparently we need negative reviews too. So feel free to leave one of those if you don't like us. But if you made it this far, you probably, probably don't hate us.
You're probably fine. Yeah.
How many people listen to an entire show that they dislike?
Yeah, not me, that's for sure.
Yeah, move that to the front. Hey, if you hate this, leave a message.
Leave a message. All right, folks, thanks for sticking around to the end. Thanks for joining us. We love you all so much. We just have such a great time here. And until next time, happy trades.
Bye. Thanks for joining us. You can find us off air at twobullsinachinashop.com. That's the number 2bullsinachinashop.com. Make sure you check us out. Download us on any streaming network. Blah, 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 blah. You know what to do. Rate, subscribe.
Two Bulls in a China Shop is an entertainment program, and all thoughts and opinions expressed in the show belong to the hosts and not of any company. They are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or on any specific security or investment product. It is only intended to provide entertainment about stocks and the financial industry of trading. If you make trades based on what you hear in this show, you assume all risks for those trades.